What transforms a kid dodging blood trails in a Bronx stairwell into the executive who revolutionized how the world plays? Reggie Fils-Aime's journey from a one-bedroom tenement to the presidency of Nintendo of America wasn't about climbing a ladder. It was about building an entirely different structure. Born to Haitian immigrants who valued principle over comfort, Reggie absorbed lessons that would later shake the gaming industry to its core. His grandfather chose exile over serving a dictator. His mother chased down teenage thieves in broad daylight, demanding justice with unflinching courage. These weren't just family stories. They were blueprints for a leadership philosophy that would eventually earn him the nickname The Reginator. This is a story about what happens when you refuse to play by someone else's rules and instead rewrite the entire game. Some lessons arrive through textbooks. Others come from watching your mother chase down thieves. When young Reggie and his brother were robbed, his mother didn't comfort them or call police. She grabbed their hands and pursued the teenage thieves until they stopped near a group of intimidating men. The toughest-looking one demanded answers. Without flinching, she explained. He made the teens return the money, and she walked away with her head high. This wasn't recklessness. It was conviction. Doing what's right means actively pushing back against wrongdoing, regardless of consequences. When Reggie's grandfather, Camille, spoke against Haiti's dictator at the United Nations, he knew he'd never see his wife again. She was forbidden to leave Haiti. He chose truth anyway. These weren't abstract moral lessons. They were lived experiences teaching a fundamental truth. Your principles matter most when defending them costs you something. Nobody handed Reggie a roadmap to Cornell. His immigrant parents worked tirelessly, but couldn't navigate the American college system. His overwhelmed guidance department offered little help. So he created his own system. Identify the objective, explore alternatives, develop contingency plans, make decisions with both analysis and emotional awareness. He applied strategically to three schools: Syracuse as his safety, Hobart for soccer, Cornell as his dream. When Cornell accepted him, he set foot on campus for the first time, moving into his dorm. During ROTC orientation, he mapped his entire four-year academic schedule using Cornell's massive course catalog, 25 credit semesters, mixing business requirements with electives like oceanography and wine spirits. His advisor gently suggested they start with freshman year. After 2 years, he opted out of ROTC, funding his education through loans, scholarships, and relentless work. His relationships with professors led to teaching assistant positions and ultimately an opportunity with Procter & Gamble. Unlike other P&G functions hiring undergraduates, brand management typically recruited MBA graduates. This fast track meant becoming a brand manager by 25. The deeper lesson: fixating on a single path blinds you to better alternatives. Every organization has a culture, the invisible force defining how people act when no one's watching. At Procter & Gamble, that culture lived in the one-page memo: clear purpose, thinking in threes, risk mitigation, and detailed next steps. This discipline built crucial skills: strong business writing, clarity of thinking, data-backed persuasiveness, and detailed action plans. When Reggie grew frustrated about stalled promotion, he secretly interviewed elsewhere. His mentor, Bob Gill, discovered this and insisted they meet that Saturday. While demolishing drywall together, Bob gave straight advice: be patient. Real mentorship happens naturally over time, based on mutual desire for growth. Mentors provide perspective and understand your business culture. They don't tell you what to do. After returning to work on Crisco, Reggie launched a successful campaign featuring hands creating a pie, scored to Vivaldi's Four Seasons. But he overstepped, starting advertising earlier than budgeted without approval, causing profitability issues. Though the brand delivered exceptional results, he had effectively killed his P&G career through unauthorized spending. When you make a mistake, own it. Be honest, learn from it, and commit to never repeating it. At Pizza Hut, he launched the billion-dollar Bigfoot pizza, then advocated discontinuing it 6 months later when research revealed it was damaging the brand's long-term health. Most managers excel at either big picture strategy or detailed execution. Reggie discovered he could do both, what he calls telescoping and microscoping. While others found complexity frustrating, he saw it as an invitation to drive business forward. This rare combination became his core competency. At Panda Express, he faced an asparagus crisis during their Taste of China promotion. A blight would double costs for their chicken and asparagus in black bean sauce. Instead of canceling the promotion, they pivoted to chicken and broccoli with black bean sauce. Broccoli was already a staple ingredient with existing inventory. Crisis averted through strategic thinking combined with operational detail. When Panda needed a street store concept to support their IPO, Reggie envisioned restaurants with limited seating focused on takeout, with future delivery and drive-through capabilities. He worked closely with operations experts, real estate specialists, and the founding family to develop and test the concept. Successful innovation always starts at the core, the main equity of the existing brand or the key problem you're solving. For Panda Express, great-tasting food and employee-powered experience were core. Everything else could change while preserving these differentiators. When Nintendo approached Reggie in 2003, mentors warned him away. GameCube was losing to PlayStation 2, and Sony's PlayStation Portable threatened Nintendo's handheld dominance. But as a lifelong gamer, Reggie saw potential in Nintendo's innovation and beloved franchises. At E3 2004, Reggie revolutionized Nintendo's image. He treated presentations as journeys, opening with impact, building momentum, closing bigger. His opening became legendary. "My name is Reggie. I'm about kicking ass, I'm about taking names, and we're about making games." The crowd erupted. Fans photoshopped him with laser beams and weapons, dubbing him the Reginator. When critics dismissed the Nintendo DS prototype as clunky compared to Sony's PSP, Reggie pushed for an unprecedented America's first launch. Software delays forced a pivot, bundling a standalone demo with the first 1 million units. The gamble paid off. Over 1 million units sold in November-December 2004, exceeding expectations. They were playing the long game, bringing gaming to everyone through innovative gameplay, not just processing power. The Wii was Nintendo's boldest bet. While competitors chased realistic graphics, Nintendo innovated on accessibility with motion-sensing controls. Reggie's crucial decision? Bundle Wii Sports with a console. "Nintendo does not give away precious content for free," Mr. Iwata insisted. After months of negotiations, Reggie won, bundling it in Western markets, while Japan sold it separately. This created a perfect test case. The Wii broke records globally but performed best where Wii Sports was bundled, sparking competitions in bars, nursing homes, and cruise ships. When 3DS sales slowed, they executed a massive $90 price cut and offered 20 free games to early adopters, a costly pivot that changed the system's trajectory. The deeper lesson? Fail forward. From 2013 to 2017, Nintendo faced challenges, but applied lessons from failures to drive innovation. Complex problems won't be solved through traditional thinking. The boy from the Bronx who watched his mother chase down thieves, who mapped his own path to Cornell, who told an industry he was about kicking ass, he understood transformation doesn't come from following rules. It comes from rewriting them entirely. Select the right challenges, be aggressive with new approaches, drive change.